following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Lord, and I thank you for this morning. As we gather together as a family, as a body of Christ here in this place, we desire a great importance of seeking after you and your word and hearing from you and being directed by your Spirit. And so do that this morning inside of us, Lord. Amen. Amen. One of the things that happened when my wife and I moved into the home that we live in now is that we got this house. It was great. But we had to do some cleaning, right? And we got to the back, this room, kind of dimly lit room, and we pulled off the shelving, and behind the shelving was a wall of mold, just mold. And I went around to the other side. I was like, how could it have gotten so moldy? And I went around to the other side of this wall, and from the grass all the way into the roof, yes, into the roof, was this bush, shrubbery growing. And it got watered frequently with no sunlight hitting that wall at all. And so as we pulled off the shelf, it had not seen light for quite some time. Mold had just grown and grown and grown. It was like the perfect heaven for mold, right? Oh, I want to be in this place. And then when we pulled it back, you know what the mold said? No, right? We want to stay behind the shelf with the watering and no air blowing through. So you know what my wife and I did? Well, the first thing I did is I chopped down that shrubbery that was out on that wall, hiding it from the sunlight. Then we went to scrubbing away of that mold with various different types of products and bleach and peroxide. We did everything because that's the room my son sleeps in now. So if there's anything wrong with my son, you know why, because the mold got to him. And then we obviously pulled away the shelf. We opened the windows and exposed it to light and air and flow. And here's the thing. You know what? Mold loves darkness. You know what else loves darkness? Sin. It loves darkness. It loves to hide behind the shelving. Don't give me any light. Don't expose me to the light. Just keep me hidden. This is the place I love. I will dwell here. And yes, just like mold, sin will grow and grow and grow. The more darkness you give it, the more hidden you keep it, it will grow and become a part of your life. In fact, oftentimes we try to explain it away, right? Not only do we keep it secret, but we're like, oh, it's okay. I'll just live with it for a while, right? We justify it. But what's true of sin is this. Sin takes you further than you want to go. Some of you know this, right? Sin takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. Let me say that again. Sin takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, holds you there, and costs you more than you want to pay. Sin will destroy. And that's and let's just say it this way. Not just sometimes, not just occasionally will sin ruin parts of my life. We can pretty much tag on, it always does this. It's characteristic of sin. If anything, I would say first and foremost, it will ruin my relationship with the living God. If I keep sin away, it ruins my relationship, that healthy, vibrant relationship I have with the Lord. But the more I keep it there, it will ruin relationship with my son and my daughter, or my friends, or my wife, or my husband. Right? Sin doesn't just stay behind the shelf, hidden away. Sin will eventually find its way out. And it will do damage and cost us something. It kills our conscience. It diminishes our faith. The answer to sin, here it is, ready? The answer to sin is light. That we expose it to the light. In fact, we need to shine the light so we can be lights that shine. Let me say it again. We need to shine the light on our sin so that we can be lights that shine. And oftentimes, if we look that our light has been diminished, oftentimes it's because we've kept sin hiding at bay inside. That oftentimes the reason why we're not being the lights that shine in our families or in our communities or in our churches is because we've hidden something away deep down inside that we don't want anyone else to know. If we are going to shine like the light that we're intended to be, we need to shine the light on our sin. We're in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, so if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're in a series called Made Alive. As we've traveled through Ephesians, we've got this amazing truth that we've been teaching week in and week out, that God has done something inside of us to awaken us, to make us alive. And that instead of living in darkness, that we would live in the life that He has laid out for us. And in fact, in our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, listen to what he says. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, here's what he says. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, walk worthy of the calling that you have been called. If you are a believer in this place this morning, you have been called a child of light. Now walk that way. Now, look what he starts off with. For you were once not in darkness. What does he say? You were once darkness. Oh, that's harsh, Paul. Whoa, get off my back, right? That's rough. That we were once darkness. Listen to what he said earlier on in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. You can turn there, or I have it up here on the screen. Here's what he said. And he made you alive, praise God, who were once dead in trespasses and sin. You were once darkness, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You once walked with that. You were darkness. I was darkness, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were once darkness. But he doesn't just stop there. In Ephesians 3:17, he kind of picks up this idea again. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk in the rest as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all uncleanliness and greediness. But he says, listen, you were once darkness, but you're not that anymore. Praise God, you are not that anymore. You've been, he said, made alive. This morning, he's saying, you have been made children of light. Now walk as children of light. Stop hiding the sin. That's not who you are any longer. It's not to be identified with you. Paul says this, you are now light in the Lord. That you are now light in the Lord. Did you know that our God is light? In fact, in Ephesians 5:1, he says, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate God. And one of the things we see throughout Scripture is God's got this theme of being light. Let me show you. John 1:5 says this, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is what?
Light.
And in him is no darkness at all. And here's what he says to them. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Why? Because God is light and we are children of light. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen to what he says about Jesus. Now, this is Jesus. John. They're talking about John the Baptist. Some thought, oh, he's the one, right? Thought of John the Baptist. Oh, he's the guy we've been waiting for. And John says, no, it's not me. Listen to what's said of Jesus. He was not the light, John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light, verse 9, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world, said of Jesus, our Savior. God the Father is light. And then we see Jesus, he is the light. In fact, look at John 8:12 says this, then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What's he saying? Light being a metaphor for righteousness and goodness and the things that we attribute to God our Father. That even in the presence, remember back in Old Testament, Moses, He's in the presence of God. He comes back down Mount Sinai, and what's happened to his face? It shined, right? So much so that what did they say? You've got to veil that thing, right? We can't even handle it. It's so bright that you've been in the presence of our Heavenly Father, who is light, who is righteousness and goodness. So much so that you have to veil yourself because you are so bright, Moses. Do something about that. Oftentimes we see God as holy and righteous and just and without sin. And it said in our text, in Him there is no darkness. So the question then is, how in the world, as children of light, are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to walk out this life? Well, we're supposed to imitate the Father. Well, how do we imitate the Father? Well, it's the same way my son does it. My son, 8-year-old, Jack, right? He and I spend time together. And I've noticed stuff over time that he starts to pick up on some things that Dad does. Like the word frustrated. I use that for whatever reason. I use that word. Oh, I'm so frustrated. Oh, that's so frustrating. And now I'm seeing little 8-year-old Jack saying, oh, that's so frustrating, Dad. Mom, that makes me so frustrated, right? He's picked up on that word. The other one I use all the time when I'm watching sports, especially, I'll be like, oh, come on, right? Whenever there's a penalty called on my team, oh, come on, that's not even right. Guess what, Jack? Oh, come on. Oh, Dad, you. It's funny because I don't know that he even knows fully what's going on in the game, but he just wants to be like Dad. So he's like, oh, come on, Dad, right? We're against that, right? We're not for that. And he's just picking up on these things all the time because he's been around me and he's spent time with me. And the same thing is true of us. If we're around the Father of light, guess what's going to happen to us? We're going to start to take on some of his characteristics and attributes, his righteousness, holiness, his goodness, because we want to be with our Father and he wants us to be like him. We're called children of light. We want to imitate him and be who he is and be like who he is. And I say that's one of the primary calls of the follower of Jesus, is that we will live life that shine. In fact, Jesus picked up on this as he was talking to his disciples. He says, I'm going to be gone from this place, but look what he says here. You are the light of the world. He's talking to his disciples. He's saying, you are going to be the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden because there's a light in that city. And even though it's so dark and pitch black, that city up on the hill with the light in it can be seen from miles and miles away. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Listen to what he says in 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That as followers of Christ, we should be these bright, shining lights to people in our houses, to our spouses, to our husbands, to our wives, to our kids, to our coworkers, to our clients, to our neighborhoods. There should be something different about us. Why? Because we've been with the Father of light. That he is rubbing off on us, that we are becoming more like him, that we are growing in who he is. Now, I'll tell you what, that hidden sin, that mold that you strip away, that's going to prevent us from shining the way we could shine. So we need to shine the light so we could be lights that shine. We need to shine the light and get that exposed. Well, Jeff, how do we do that? Because that seems like a hard task. And maybe I've been walking for quite some time and I found out this is a hard thing, but I'll tell you how we do it. In fact, he says it in verse 9. Look at what verse 9 says, Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the power source that allows us to shine. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the one that works inside of me to produce the actions and the behaviors that will allow me to shine. So what are you talking about shining? Well, the Holy Spirit's the one that develops the goodness and the truth and the righteousness in me. In fact, when we use the word fruit, it just means a result of. This is a result of the Holy Spirit living within me that allows me to grow in my walk with the Lord over time and produce those things that cause me to stand out in the darkness. When I go to work, when I go and hang out with my friends, the Holy Spirit is the one that has done that work inside of me that causes me to be able to stand out. So how do I get the Holy Spirit? When do I get that? I want the Holy Spirit. I want to shine. I want to make a difference. I've professed faith in Christ, and now I want to grow. Jeff, how do I grow? Well, I've got great news for you this morning. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is what? Where's the Holy Spirit? If you're a professing follower of Christ, if you said, I trust Christ as my Lord and my Savior, I believe He died on the cross for me. I believe He rose again from the dead. I believe I have no good within me. I confess Him, and I know the only way that I will spend eternity with Him is through that blood of Christ, through the death and resurrection. And I want to put my faith, and I want to live my life for Him, and I want to turn from all the darkness that I once lived in. If that's you, then you have the Holy Spirit living in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Look what else he says, Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, if in fact, the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells, where? Tell me, in you. Here's the incredible reality. Jeff, I want to be a Christian who shines in the darkness. Guess what? You've been given the Holy Spirit to live within you, who over time will develop the fruits of righteousness inside of you and goodness and truth, according to our text. He's working that out in you. That He is going to move you and shake you and put you into the place where you can be used by Him. But that's not the only thing the Holy Spirit does. Six other quick things. Here it is. The indwelling Spirit comes to a soul that is dead in sin and creates new life. So if you're a note taker, just write down, creates new life. The Holy Spirit took you and I, who were dead, and we learned in our text, were darkness, came into us, made us alive, and created life inside of us who were once dead. The second, indwelling Spirit gives the spiritual gifts to a believer to edify the church and serve the Lord effectively for His glory. Huh, you've been given a gift. Now, I will just tell you, hidden sin, sin that I'm keeping away, will hurt my walk with the Lord. It will hurt my walk with the Lord. So I don't see some of the things that the Spirit wants to do within me because I'm always wrestling with my conscience and with my God. That I'm just going to keep this hidden. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to try to appease God as much as I can. But the Spirit is trying to say, listen, let that go. Shine the light on it. Bring it to the forefront. I have gifts I've given you. I want you to edify the body of Christ, but I want to keep this thing off to the side. No, no. I want to use you powerfully for my church. Look at the third. The indwelling Spirit helps the believer understand and apply Scripture in his or her daily life. That's why we go to the Word. We believe the Spirit dwelling in us. When you wake up tomorrow morning and you open the Word of God, or tomorrow night, or whenever you come to it, it's not just you and the Word, it's you, the Spirit, and the Word working through you. And He's molding and shaping you into the person that He's called you to be. Four, indwelling Spirit empowers the believer to live for Christ, to do His will. The Spirit leads the believer to paths of righteousness and goodness and truth, according to our text this morning. The indwelling Spirit gives evidence of the new life by producing fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life. That the result of the Spirit living inside of you is that you should see a change. There should be something different. Because once we were darkness, this is what we were classified as. He brings us to life. And now moving forward from this day out, there should be fruit going outside of me. Goodness, righteousness, peace, patience, self-control. Those things should be increasing because of who we are as children of light and the Spirit living inside of us. Last one. Indwelling Spirit is grieved when the believer sins, and He convicts the believer to confess his sin to the Lord so that fellowship might be restored. Incredible characteristic of the Holy Spirit, or one of the things He does in us, is He says, Jeff, that is not what a child of light would do. That is not what someone who's been called a son or a daughter of the King would do. In fact, you can't keep going. You need to change. You need to turn. Sometimes we use the word repent. And you need to start walking in this righteousness, this right living, again, according to the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the ways I know that you and I, as people who maybe have walked with the Lord for a little while, we've seen that happen inside of us. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. You know what you need to do, Jeff? I know what I need to do, right? I apologize. I'm sorry. That's not what a son of God should do, or a daughter of God should do. And the Holy Spirit is the one that puts that upon us. Now, here's the problem. There are sometimes we allow sin to exist in our life, and we just keep pushing it and explaining it and pushing it and explaining it away till we become deadened to that voice of the Holy Spirit, until maybe like yesterday, we come to a men's conference, right? 130-some men in this cafe. It was so cool. And there's a speaker up there, and the God, he's teaching the word, and God kind of pricks our heart, and we're like, ah, I have been keeping that there for so long. I need to get that out. I need to get that out. And God uses these moments to say, Jeff, wake up. You're such a knucklehead. No, he doesn't say that. Wake up. You can't keep living with that there, right? You're a son of God. You're a child of light. That's your old ways. I've got new ways for you. And I'm sharing with you by the power of my Holy Spirit, who, praise God, lives inside you. Look at verse 10. Also, the Holy Spirit helps us to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. He is guiding our paths. He's renewing our minds. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, by the power of the Holy Spirit, oftentimes by His word, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That the Spirit does that work inside of us so that we see in verse 10, we can find out what is acceptable to our Heavenly Father. Now, He's going to give a warning for us next, right? And I believe that's why He writes in verse 11 what happens next, is that He says, be careful what you attach then onto your life, children of light, who's following the Father of light, God our Father. Be careful what you then put onto your body, what you allow to come in through your eyes or into your heart. Look what He says in verse 11. And have no fellowship, child of light, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. There are things that are working against you. Finishing the journey well. Staying in the light. There are things that would love to come against you and diminish your effectiveness and your light for our Heavenly Father. Do you know that? And a couple of weeks ago, I think Bill said it so rightly, that we're saved by grace, that we come to the Lord and He makes us new in Him only by the blood of Christ, only by His death and resurrection. That's how we're saved, by grace. But when we get into that moment, it's eventually, at some point, to stay in that light, to keep honoring Him, I think Bill said it best, it takes some work, right? That I can't just keep falling back into the old ways. At some point, I have to say, yes, I'm saved by grace, but I'm going to delete that from my phone. I'm not going to look at that on the internet. And that takes some work, amen? I'm not going to go down that path with my mouth and the things I used to say. I'm not going to do that anymore. And that takes some effort, because our flesh and our desire is to head back into darkness again, behind the shelving unit with the bush behind us and getting frequently watered, because we feel, oh, this is where we can grow, right? The reality is, He's saying, no, step into the light and stay in the light. Don't keep falling back. And that takes work and effort. He says, He calls them the unfruitful works of darkness. I love that image. It's unfruitful. It's not profitable. You will gain nothing by it. It will only come to rob, kill, and destroy anything that God has planned for you. Now, I will just be very clear. I don't believe this is a command to ditch your non-Christian friends. In fact, I think it's the complete opposite. Now, I would say, because I was a high school pastor for 8 years, there are times when I would tell students, hey, probably not the best people to be hanging out with, right? I just keep doing the same thing, Jeff, over and over again. I'm like, well, maybe it's your friends that you're circled around, right? And maybe that's for you. Maybe there's a season where it's like, man, we just need to ditch this group, because every time we hang out with this group, I feel like we go the wrong direction. And I wouldn't say it's a them problem. I would say it's more of a us problem. That somehow we need to say, listen, I'm a light in this darkness, right? And so I don't think what he's saying is get rid of your friends who aren't Christian. I think what he would say is, and I think it's better than that, it's more powerful than that, it's be a light to your friends who aren't Christian. When you hang out with them, instead of going with them, bring them with you. Instead of falling into the traps that you once fell into, now you lead them into a better way. Act in a different way than you once acted when you were around them. That's what I think the message is. It's not remove yourself from all things that aren't Christian. It's be a light to those things that aren't Christian. Be an example and a witness of who God is in faithfulness and righteousness and truth and goodness and peace and patience and joy. Be that at work and with your clients and coworkers and neighbors and family who don't know the Lord. In fact, here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 5:9, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. And actually, who he was saying was those who were in the church that were sexually immoral. Because look what he says after that in verse 10. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. And he's saying, I'm not taking you out of the world. At some point, I'll take you out of the world. But he's saying, right now, I have you in the world for a reason. But sin sometimes diminishes the light that you and I are to have with those people who don't know the Lord. We are supposed to shine bright in the darkness. But sometimes we've held on to this thing that he's saying, have no connection with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't even connect to them. Tomorrow when you wake up, I will have no, say that to yourself, I will have no connection with the unfruitful works of darkness. God, prevent me from entering into any of those things today. I want to honor you with my life. Look what Paul says in verse 13. Here's how you deal with it. Here's how you remedy it. But all things that are exposed are made manifest or become visible by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Expose your secrets and the things that you've been hiding to the light. That's his whole message. That's what he's saying. He said, listen, you were once darkness, now you're light. Anything that has crept in or has become a secret sin for you, expose it to the light. And maybe some of you here, you would say, I don't know if I'm a Christian. I'm not really a believer. I'm just checking church out. But I feel the weight of some of the things that I've done. I'm feeling the weight of that. As Christians, we would call that sin. That's the thing that we've all felt weight of before. And at times, even when we walk with the Lord, we sin and we feel the weight of that sin. And I would just tell you, if you're not a believer here today, or you're watching online and you're not a believer, I would say the way you rid yourself of the weight of that sin is you come to Jesus. He is the light, right? The same we saw in our text this morning. God is light. His Son is light. So we come to the Father and we say, God, I confess my sin. I turn it over to you. And you know what he does? He comes beside you and says, yes, I forgive you of your sin. In fact, I forgive you of all unrighteousness. I forgive you all the things that you have done. I will forgive you. That's the person we go to. We go to our Heavenly Father because he is faithful to forgive us our sins and all unrighteousness. I would just tell you three other things of places we would turn. I would tell you the church. Here's the thing. I believe the church, when Paul's writing this, he's like, I want you to be able to confess your sin to other people. But in the church, in the context of today, that's a hard thing to do because sometimes we don't connect with other people when we come to church. We come to church, but we don't have that dialogue or that relationship that I would say, hey, I'm really struggling with, and you fill in the blank. Would you just help me with that? And you're like, I don't even know your name, right? That's a dangerous thing. But I think originally when Paul's saying confess your sin, or the Lord saying confess your sin to one another, it's you have a relationship with them, that you've developed a foundation to where you could go to that person and say, I believe you have my best intentions for me, And I'm struggling with this, and I need your prayer, and I need you to call me tomorrow and make sure that I'm not struggling in this or how I'm doing in this area. I want you to ask me. That was the idea. In fact, look at our text here in Hebrews 10:24. It says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together." Why? Because we need that fellowship. We need that relationship, as some are in the habit of doing. But what? Some of your texts say exhorting or encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, that the relationship between people within the church was one that would say, we're going to keep meeting together. We're going to develop lasting relationships with one another, so much so that I could come to you and encourage you and exhort you or say, hey, man, I see this in you. Be careful of this. And you could do the same thing for me. Listen to what Hebrews 3:12 says. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God," which, can I just tell you, is what sin will do. As we keep it hidden away, the sinful, unbelieving heart will begin to develop within us. Here's the answer, but what? Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That in fact, I believe the church was one of those places where you would be able to come to someone and say, hey, I need help in this. I am so struggling right now. And it's affecting my faith and my walk and my relationship with my wife or my husband and my family. Would you help me? And that's the confession. That's the bringing it out into the light. And sometimes I think I look at the church and I think, where does someone like that go? Where does someone who would genuinely this morning say, man, that's me, Jeff. I'm hiding sin away. Who can I tell? Because I'll tell you, I can't forgive your sin, right? And Pastor Bill, can you imagine if everybody thought, I'm going to go to Pastor Bill this morning. I'm just going to confess my sin. Imagine if we all did that. Hey, incredible how many months out he would be before, like, oh, now come forward and confess your sin to me, right? It would be incredible, but better that you would be so involved in each other's lives that there would be a brother or a sister in the Lord that you would go to and say, hey, I need your help. I need your help. I'm really wrestling with this. And then we all of a sudden we have an image and a picture of what I believe the church was, one of the reasons the church was designed, and he loves his church so much, the body of Christ, is because they developed this relationship with the other. The second place that I would say go is the Word of God, right? Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It says this in 2 Timothy 3:16, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. So when we say, hey, I'm going to open my Bible tomorrow morning, it's not because it's a religious duty. It's because I want to grow as a child of light. I want to move away from darkness. I want to walk towards my Lord. And when I open the Word, I'm believing that what He is going to share with me is going to make me more of the man that He's called me to be. That He's going to use His Spirit through His Word, and He's going to correct me in some areas. He's going to encourage me in some areas. That as I open the Word tomorrow or tonight or whenever I go to it, I'm growing in Him. And the third one I would just say, and we've already talked about Him this morning, the Holy Spirit. It says this in Galatians 5:16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." If you're thinking this morning, man, hidden sin, I don't know, Jeff, I don't know. I would say go to someone you trust, an accountability partner. Second, spend time in the Word. God, I need to be corrected by your Word. I need to be encouraged by your Word. And the third is say, I've got the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in me, and He is moving me into a place of righteousness and goodness and truth. Listen, sin will lead you to a separation from God. It just will. Hidden sin will lead you to a separation, a heart that is hard towards the things of God. Instead, bring those things to light. Bring them into the light. Light has an opposite effect of darkness. Power, healing. Lord, I bring those things to you. Would you do that in me? If there's any part of your day, any activity or habits or media that you consume, or websites you visit, or apps that you have on your phone, or relationships that you're hiding and fostering, bring those to life. Now, here's a good way to judge it. Is this something I would ever tell my wife, right? Is this something I'd ever tell my husband? And if you answer no to that, then that's probably something you're hiding away, right? That's something that you've kept secret. Would I ever want my parents to know that I'm doing this, right? That's a good judge. And if it's no, would I ever want Pastor Bill to let me know? No, I was kidding. If it's a no, then that's probably something that you've kept hidden away. That's just for me. That's just for me. But here's the reality. Can we just be honest for a minute, right? God knows. You're not keeping it hidden from him, and he's the one that matters most. And can I tell you something else? He's the one that is the most graceful, the most loving, the most to say, ah, come, yeah, bring it to the light. Repent, turn of it. And I want to give you my grace and my mercy, and I want to cover you over, and I want to start the healing process. He, more than anyone else, wants that to happen in you this morning. He, more than anyone else, wants his son or his daughter to come and say, God, Father, I want to give this over to you. Yes. Now we're talking. Now we're moving forward. Don't let it stay another day. Sometimes it just takes bringing it into the light. And all of a sudden, things begin to change in our lives. Our marriage will start to grow again. Our relationships will start to grow again. Our friendships, whatever's holding us back, and we will begin to shine the way we were called to shine. Amen? Let's pray. God, I pray this morning as we've been exposed to your word by the power of your Holy Spirit, and I know that there are some here this morning who have secret sin. I don't think that's a secret at all. I think that there are times that we've held on to things and we've held on too long. And instead of exposing them to light, Lord, we've held tightly onto those things because we just want to, or because it feels good, or it helps us, or whatever that is. And instead, Lord, we would just expose them to you and believe there's a better way. Believe that there's a better way in you. And so we, Lord, this morning, if you've spoken to us, if you've given us something, Lord, I pray that the first step we would make is towards you, confessing those things to you, turning them over to you, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness is what your word says. You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, that we don't have to live with that unrighteousness anymore. And so I pray this morning that the first step would be towards you. And the second one would be finding someone that we trust, someone that we know, maybe someone we've built relationship with, and just say, brother or sister, will you help me in this? Will you strengthen me? Will you help strengthen this weakness in my life? And I would just go to someone else and just say, I trust you. I know you have my best intention. Lord, I need your help. Or friend, I need your help. And then, Lord, I pray thirdly that we would go to your word and spend time with you by the power of your Holy Spirit, trusting and knowing that you're doing a good thing inside of us, that you're working this out to completion. Lord, none of us are complete at this moment. We wrestle with things, we wrestle with sin, we wrestle with things that we wish we wouldn't be like, and yet we are. And I believe, Lord, with all my heart that you are working your Holy Spirit inside of us to produce good fruit. And so, Lord, help us to be patient and waiting in you and on you. Move us to closer to the people that shine bright as lights in this dark world. Amen. Yesterday, at the men's conference, afterwards, I was talking to a brother in the Lord, and he had confessed some things, not to me, just to the Lord. And he said, I felt like there was this weight that got lifted off my shoulders. And maybe some of you have been there before, where it was like, it just took me coming to the Lord, finally pulling it out of behind that shelf and exposing it to light. And God showed up, and there was this weight that was lifted off my shoulders. I wanted to read you this, Psalm 32:3. Psalm 32:3, if you want to write that down. Psalm 32:3. David writes this, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David talking about what that feels like to live under the weight of that hidden secret sin, and then confessing it and saying, you've forgiven me. And I would just say, what's the buy-in? Why would I ever do this morning? Why would I confess it? Why would I stop doing it? Because God will bless you immensely. that as you expose it to the light, he says, yes, my son, yes, my daughter, I forgive you. Now start walking back in the light. Keep the light on. Amen? Have a great rest of your week.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.